Good day. This is the making of the John Batchelor Show. I am he. The headlines this morning, more of what we learned yesterday and the day before. However, I'll touch upon them. This is London reporting, not a partisan paper, instead a European paper, in that its concerns are chiefly the EU. Russian online retailer Wildberries becomes target for Ukraine's drones. Ukraine opens probe into defense event after deadly Russian strike. Kazakhstan's president urges President Putin to freeze the war in Ukraine. Greek shipping carve-out on Russia sanctions prompts EU rethink. All EU concerns the war in Ukraine. The war in Ukraine gets special attention. Zelensky government in turmoil after defense minister fired. Not only the defense minister fired, but the general-in-chief fired. A turnover in the command structure of national security at Kyiv in these last hours. And Europe could help get Ukraine and Russia to the negotiating table, writes one op-ed in Europe. The EU needs to hold together on Russian sanctions, writes the editorial board of the Financial Times. You can see where this is going. There's much unhappiness. And Gideon Rockman, the chief foreign correspondent for London's Financial Times. Ukraine, Iran, and how regional wars go global. I think we've seen a taste of that in these last days. With the report, at first it seemed discordant, but afterwards it's in line with the word escalation. The Ukrainians fired a missile or a drone, I'm unclear which, at an Iranian ship in the Caspian Sea. That is the inland sea that touches on Russia and Iran and Azerbaijan and Turkmenistan and Kazakhstan. The Caspian Sea. It is chiefly a energy bowl, participating in all of the natural gas and oil you could use in the region. What is also true is that European Union has signed several deals, including most recently a German deal, to move the natural gas and the oil from the Caspian Sea, not just to Turkey, where it has been loaded onto tankers, but all the way to Italy, where it can be distributed to the European Union. That attack in the Caspian Sea may or may not turn the Caspian Sea into a battlefield. It is unclear. It was a surprise attack. The Iranians are reporting casualties, perhaps one or more dead, and they have yet to respond. I mention that because it doesn't make any sense, but then I'm not trying to make war logical. It's just that when two victims of superpower attacks, that would be Ukraine and Iran, turn on each other, you do not have order. We'll turn to domestic affairs in America because there's also disorder there, and I happen to have the right person to help me understand the contest for the midterm in the U.S. Senate. This is not the House of Representatives where the numbers are very close. This is the U.S. Senate where the Republicans enjoy majority, not only the vice president to break ties, but I believe they have 53 seats as of now. The Democrats have an ambition to flip the Senate to their majority, which would mean they need to pick up four or five. I lose count sometimes. My subtraction is weak. They need to pick up seats. In addition, they need to not lose any seats. Picking up seats are hard enough. Maine has been a struggle to find the right candidate. Texas is a long, long pass into the end zone with the clock running down. There are other contests that are more likely, such as Ohio. But the one in Michigan turns out to be extremely complicated because it involves the most progressive elements of the Democratic Party, the so-called establishment of the Democratic Party, all looking to hold the seat for the Democratic Party with the retirement of the Democratic senator, I believe Debbie Stabenow, but that is will correct me.
Gary Peters.
Gary Peters, thank you, that is. I welcome my colleague and friend and informant on Michigan from the great state of Michigan, Thaddeus McCotter, former member of Congress, now writing in American Greatness, and my guide on this very heated remarks by the candidates for the Democratic nomination. Thaddeus, I will begin immediately, set this up and make it possible for the show across the nation tonight to hear it. 5, 4, 3, 2. We've got a war in Europe, we've got a war in the Middle East, and there's apparently a war of words in Michigan. 1. I'm John Batchelor. I welcome Thaddeus McCotter, American greatness, former member of Congress from the great state of Michigan, to help me understand headlines that point to Democratic concerns for the midterm, not the House of Representatives, the U.S. Senate. A seat held by the Democrat Gary Peters now is open, and the battle is between Democrat and Democrat to have the nomination to go up against a Republican candidate. But what I learned from the New York Times as of these last hours, very convenient for the Times to provide me all this background, is that the two Democratic candidates are attacking each other in their strengths. The progressive candidate is attacking the moderate candidate as a tool of corporate bosses. The moderate candidate is saying that the progressive candidate cannot get elected in the general election or anywhere in the United States because of the intentionality of the Democratic Socialists of America. That is, that's as far as the New York Times will take me. Haley Stevens and Dr. Abdul Al-Sayed, what do we need to know about their presentation and their contest in Michigan? Good day to you.
Good day to you, John. It's going to be a classic matchup between the Democratic establishment and the insurgents and the surging DSA. Now, Dr. Abdul Al-Sayed obviously is running as the more socialist-type candidate, although he denies it. He said he's a capitalist who wants to regulate it. Yet he's been endorsed by Bernie Sanders, endorsed by AOC, he's recently come in. So clearly he's further left. It's interesting to see the New York Times in their definitions calling him progressive. He's far more than that, far further left than that. Haley Stevens is more of a progressive. So they're going to claim her as a moderate. She worked at some capacity on the President Obama's auto task force. He's been in ads for her. She's clearly running as a more of a center-left Democrat. I grant them that. So what you're seeing basically then is the classic matchup between a center-left Democrat who has beaten Republicans in the past, and she's never lost an election against the new face of Dr. Abdul Al-Sayed, who's running a very, very strong campaign. In the words, the war of words is heated up as we head down towards the finish line in Michigan, which will be first Tuesday in August. So on the Republican side, you got Mike Rogers. He's running. He will be the Republican nominee. He was the Republican nominee 2 years ago, and he almost won the seat. He only lost by about 14,000 votes to Alyssa Slotkin, now senator, who was a member of the House of Reps, who came in at the same time as Haley Stevens did. For the Democrats, it's obviously going to tell us a lot about the future of the Democratic Party, not just in Michigan, but within the United States. Is the tide of the DSA and the far left of the Democratic Party continuing to rise, or is it crested and beginning to ebb? Will the Democratic establishment be able to hold on to its position within the Democratic Party, to hold on to its power, especially given the fact that President Obama is in her ads for Haley Stevens? You've seen Governor Whitmer endorse Haley Stevens. I believe Gary Peters has endorsed Haley Stevens. It's a clear matchup of the Democratic establishment against the insurgent forces on the left within the party. Now, importantly, in Michigan, we have a modified closed primary, which means that if you get a ballot for the primary, you can only vote for Republicans candidates on one side, or you can choose to vote only for the Democrats on one side. You can't vote for a Republican for, say, governor, and then a Democratic candidate for their nominee in the Senate. You have to stay on one side of the ballot or the other because it's a primary ballot. And so you're going to get a very, very good indication. There'll be not much gamesmanship being played by Republicans in this, because we have our own contested gubernatorial primary on the other side, which has drawn a lot of attention. That's kind of sorting itself out at this point, but a lot of those ballots have been cast already. So I think it's going to be a very good indication of where the Democratic Party stands, both here in the state and nationally.
I want to go through the talking points that the New York Times emphasizes, because this is a paper that dominates the Democratic Party policy and is representing a contest between two Democrats, neither of whom are unacceptable to the New York Times, but there's emphasis here. So I'll go through the talking points to learn. The New York Times pub posts, El Said repeatedly hit Stevens over AIPAC money. That's AIPAC is the American-Israeli PAC, and it's associated with a strong Israel, and the aid to the United aid from the U.S. to Israel is unquestioned in the Democratic Party that it presents itself to be. And El Said is saying that Haley Stevens takes money from AIPAC. Is that a strong campaign strategy in Michigan?
It can be. It can be. I think that what you're seeing is support for Israel is becoming in many ways for the Democratic Party, especially what being pro-life used to, I think it still does mean in the Republican Party, where if you were pro-life, the media considered you a conservative. If you were pro-choice, the media considered you a liberal Republican. It was one of these bright lines that the media used to use. I think the Democrats are using the support for Israel or support for the Palestinians and Palestinian state to be a stark differentiation between their candidates. Haley Stevens has been a strong supporter of Israel, and she has not backed down on that, and that will continue. Abdul El Sayed is clearly different on that, clearly supports a more supportive stance towards the Palestinian state, and the ads are reflecting that. That's going to be an important one. Now, in Michigan, you have a large Jewish vote in Oakland County and other areas, Southeast Michigan predominantly. And Haley Stevens represents a large swath of that at the present time. Dr. Sayed can count on, I would argue, some of the support in Dearborn and other areas where we have large Muslim concentrations and large Middle Eastern concentrations of population. So it's not as simple as one would think in many ways. It's interesting for a matchup in the general election because Dearborn, which is a large concentration of the Muslim population in Michigan and throughout America, is in terms of concentration. It voted, I believe, for Donald Trump. And so if that swings in a general election for a Democratic senator, that could be a very detrimental development for Mike Rogers, the Republican nominee.
The New York Times says that Haley Stevens does not respond to the AIPAC allegation, instead shifts to the affordability crisis, which is good Democratic talk, affordability. The puzzle here is, why not respond on AIPAC? If she's supported by Whitmer, she's supported by Peters, she's supported by President Barack Obama, all three, to my knowledge, have been associated with strong support for Israel over the course of their careers. What's the downside for Haley Stevens? I'm puzzled by this sensitivity on her part.
Well, you have to look at the Democratic primary and how the Democratic voters view Israel. And so I think it's very telling on the part of the New York Times to say that she shifted in her position or shifted to the affordability issues.
Pivot was because the word they use. Pivot. Yes.
Same thing. Yes. Pivot is almost as if she's avoiding it. It's almost as if she's being deceptive and not trying to address it when the reality is she's always been straightforward about it. It's there in her record. And so I don't think that she's doing anything unnecessarily untoward. And she's trying to make affordability, which is the most important issue in the general election, she's trying to stake her claim to that. So I think that it makes perfect sense, but I think it's more telling about where the New York Times is than where Haley Stevens is. But I think they would clearly side with Dr. El Sayed on the on AIPAC and on the Palestinian issue.
Now, Haley Stevens' remarks.
I can't believe I'm defending Haley Stevens.
Haley Stevens' remarks that Abdul El Sayed is a celebrity candidate who's looking to make Michigan a stepping stone to run for president. Wow. Really?
Well, that's what the DSA has done with other candidates. I don't know that they've technically endorsed him. I know that a lot of people associated with the DSA are supporting him. But the DSA may be getting more, say, nuanced in how they approach their endorsements. I can't quite be sure about that. But let's put it this way. A lot of the people that the DSA support and a lot of people who endorse much of their platform, the media tends to elevate as the new rising stars of the Democratic Party, the new face in the left. We saw that with AOC. We're seeing that with Mamdani. So you're going to continue to see that. I don't know that that's Dr. El-Sayed's fault, that they will take him and make him a poster person for the movement. If that happens, I'm sure he's not going to be unhappy with it, but I don't know that he's necessarily courting that. That would be something that will happen regardless because of how the Democratic and the left in general celebrates their electoral victories. They make them a symbol for others to follow and try to emulate.
I'm speaking with Thaddeus McCotter from the great state of Michigan, my guide on Michigan politics. At the moment, we're discussing a primary contest for the open U.S. Senate seat in Michigan between Dr. El-Sayed and Haley Stevens. When we come back, El-Sayed actually says, "I'm not a socialist." What does that mean in Michigan? I'm John Batchelor with my good friend and colleague and guide on political matters, especially in the great state of Michigan and throughout the Midwest. That is McCotter of American Greatness. And we're discussing something that was all new to me until Thaddeus raised it the other day. I'm spending my time worrying about the Strait of Hormuz or the firing of a ballistic missile out of the South China Sea by a People's Republic of China's submarine. And instead, what's going on in Michigan is more determinative of the next presidency. This is a contest between a professional, Dr. El-Sayed, Abdul El-Sayed, who is progressive, according to the New York Times, and Haley Stevens, who is moderate, according to the New York Times. I'm not a socialist, is the quote that they give El-Sayed. He says that he's in favor of capitalism, but not capitalism run amok, whatever that means. I'm not a socialist. That is, ordinarily, that would be a loser in ordinary conversation. Is it a loser in Michigan to declare that you're not a socialist while running for the Senate?
Well, I don't know. He's certainly supported by a lot of socialists and people who have socialist inclinations. And if you look at Bernie Sanders and AOC endorsing him, but he says he's not a socialist. So I think it's incumbent upon him to put forward what he actually stands for and how he would regulate capitalism and how he believes it's run amok. But again, you're dealing with a Democratic primary. So I think that a lot of the Democrats intuit where he stands and they doesn't need to have it spelled out for them. They would endorse him and they would gravitate towards him because he's the new face, potentially, of the Michigan Democratic Party and of the Democrats in the Senate when he gets there. So we'll see if it's really up to Stevens to hold him to account and to see whether he responds. It'd be nice to see if the New York Times talks about how he has pivoted away from the calls that he's a socialist without mentioning how he isn't and how he believes that capitalism is run amok.
I just remember it was a great line from the 70s when Richard Nixon said, I'm not a crook. That always was useful in any campaign against Republicans. I'm not a socialist. Sounds like a loser, but you're telling me it's not.
Well, it's a Democratic primary. So it's really up to them to decide or whether they believe capitalism is run amok and needs to be regulated, although maybe they don't care how he plans to regulate it.
Well, but or, it's going
you
to
know, they also, the Democratic Party also has a very positive view of socialism at this point in time. So I don't know that even if he said he was a socialist, it'd be a problem. The real problem is the reason you don't want to say you're a socialist is because even if you win the primary, you still got to win a general election. And Michigan is not a socialist state.
All right, we have one more for a talking point that the New York Times says was featured in their most recent heated debate.
Heated.
Only one candidate would abolish ICE. I can guess who that is. El-Sayed's terms, discussion about AIPAC-tied funding and U.S. support for Israel left Ms. Stevens' defending positions that have become broadly unpopular. When it came to an exchange about immigration and customs enforcement, writes the New York Times, Ms. Stevens spoke about her efforts, which were ultimately futile, to redirect funding for the agency that Republicans in Congress had approved, ICE, Dr. Al-Sayed's message was unequivocal. He would abolish ICE altogether. So is Al-Sayed associated not only with abolishing ICE, but defund the police, defund prisons, open prisons? Does he talk that way?
He doesn't talk like that now. I know he will not like this analogy, but he's very much like Donald Trump in the sense that he's never held elective office and he can say whatever he wants and he does not have a record of his own to run on. So he's allowed to simply attack Haley Stevens' record over and over and over again without having one of his own. He has posted a couple tweets, one of which can be interpreted. I think it has been said that it was defund the police, but he has either backtracked on that or claims it was taken out of context. But he can attack and say whatever he wants. And that becomes a problem for Haley Stevens when she gets put on the defensive. I think her best argument in the whole campaign as a Democrat would be Haley Stevens has never lost an election. In fact, she beat an incumbent, I believe, when she first ran, a Republican. So her ads have been saying that he can't win, that this is not going to be a successful candidate for the Democrats to run against a Trump-endorsed Mike Rogers. I think she's probably right about that, but we'll see if the Democrats want to, you know, take the great leap forward and see if they don't trip.
Michigan is largely Democratic state in the Congress. That hasn't been determined on the way it votes for the presidential race, but I
well, it is now. It is now since the redistricting commission, but it's still a relatively close margin between the Republicans and the Democrats in the congressional delegation. They've had a pretty much stranglehold over the Senate seats in my lifetime. Very rarely do the Republicans win the Senate.
And the concern also for Dr. Al-Sayed is that he's not going to work with anybody. He'll be a loner in the Senate. Is that a concern for the people of Michigan? They need somebody who can work with
well, Democrats. I don't know. Bernie Sanders endorsed him, and last time I looked, he was in the Senate. You know, I mean, the Senate deals with whoever comes, and it depends on what you want to do. So you can't really make that argument. I think it's unfair to Al-Sayed that you could say that no one will work with him. So you don't know what... They have a way of bringing people in and getting them accustomed to the Senate. And look, now, if he walks in the door and says, you know what, the DSA is right, we need to abolish the Senate and go towards a unicameral legislature, hey, they might have a problem with that. But he's not said that, to the best of my knowledge. I think it would be a bad decision, especially if you're running for the Senate.
Then let's speak to the Democratic Socialists of America, the DSA. Does it resonate with the people of Michigan? Or do they have a turnout model that can help Dr. Al-Sayed?
Well, I think the turnout model, it's not the DSA. I don't know if they have a turnout model on the ground that can deal with this. The Michigan Democrats traditionally have been relatively moderate, relatively mainstream. If you look at Gretchen Whitmer, she's certainly not a left-wing zealot, no matter how much Republicans may dislike her. So when you look at it, I think Dr. Al-Sayed, one of the things that's going to be interesting is to see if the Muslim community, the Middle Eastern population in places like Southeast Michigan turn out in large amounts for him, because this would be their first opportunity to help name a candidate that they can identify with. And if identity politics is still driving the Democratic Party, which in many ways I think it is, it's a built-in turnout model for him, both in a primary and in a general election. Now, Haley Stevens also has one advantage, and she's also been tweaking him, and the campaign's been tweaking him on, is he misogynistic? Does he have a problem? I think the way they phrase it is, does he have a problem with women? I think that's one of the reasons AOC came in for a visit to show support for the doctor. I don't know whether that's true or not. I don't know any of that. I just know that that's what they're saying in the campaign. The base of the Democratic Party, I believe, is largely women. I think the largest, the most loyal constituency is African-American women. So we'll see what the women's vote does in terms of identity politics to help Haley Stevens.
And right now, Thaddeus, I summarize by saying that Haley Stevens is always likely to win because she's the establishment, and that wins in Michigan. Is that correct? 30 seconds.
No, I wouldn't say that at all. We're watching the Democratic Party civil war happen in real time, much as we saw the Republican establishment and the MAGA civil war happen on the right. So this is what we're going to see. We're going to see if Michigan's changing or if Michigan Democratic can hold serve.
That is Mikado, American Greatness. He's in the great state of Michigan, and we will have an answer in a week's time, and we'll discuss it again. I'm John Batchelor. Well, we're going to get the results next week. Wow.
You made me defend Democrats. How can you do that to me?
You've moved into a grand old man analyst, that is. I can't help myself.
You're a grouchy old man analyst.
Grouchy. Mike Rogers.
Grouchy boy.
Mike Rogers, he's not MAGA. He's Republican center, right?
Mike Rogers. He's endorsed by Trump both times, but I serve with Mike in the state Senate. Mike's been around a long time. I serve with him in Congress. He's been around a long time. I like him very much. And I was very disappointed. He came so close. And it's going to be a different environment for Mike this time running for Senate. It was much. The headwinds weren't as strong 2 years ago for a Republican in Michigan. They are very strong this year.
Well, then what we have here is if El-Said is successful, Mike Rogers has the perfect opportunity to win. If Haley Stevens.
Well, he has an option. I don't know if it's perfect. Remember, I believe that polling showed that the exit polling showed that Muslims in Dearborn, the Middle Eastern community in Dearborn, which is traditionally largely kind of voted Democratic, and this time they turned around and voted for Trump. So if Dr. El-Sayed is running, that could flip. And I think Mike Rogers benefited from that 2 years ago. Now, if that flips, that's certainly not going to help Mike Rogers. And we don't know what would happen with the Michigan Jewish community. Would they then vote for the Trump-endorsed Republican in the general? It all remains to be seen. So you can't just say that Dr. El-Sayed would be the easiest candidate to beat. He might be, but I don't know about that. Especially if all the energy is behind the Democratic far left at this point in time. Maybe if the moderate wins, some of the Democratic left stays home or casts a protest vote. Who knows? Who knows what happens in the minds of the left, the hive mind,
Splinter. When President Obama came in, was that successful for Haley Stevens?
Well, it showed that she's the establishment candidate. You got Governor Whitmer on board. You got Senator Peters on board. I don't know that Senator Slotkin has endorsed. It'd be interesting to see if she has or has not. I've not heard that yet. It might have happened, but you know, I'm a grouchy old man. I got a lot of chores to do. I might have got past me.
I'm assuming that the price of gasoline and under that the price of food, affordability, is the major story in Michigan, whether it's a primary or general election.
It's an affordability is the cost of living or whatever you want to call it this cycle. Things are more expensive. People are unhappy with it. It's hard to buy a house. Interest rates are high relative to how they used to be in a couple of years ago. The war in Iran is not going well. I've seen some people talk about we got to set up a government in exile. I mean, really, this is becoming problematical. So you have issues of war and peace. And the administration is not faring well on any of them right now. And I even saw where, the unemployment claims might be down, a large part of that may be due to people leaving the workforce altogether. I think that's the U6, if I remember, which is always a problem. Because you and I talked about it, John. We used to joke about, gallows humor, where the unemployment rate in America would be zero if everybody stopped looking for work.
Right.
Yeah, government statistics.
Is Michigan a bellwether for the 2028 election?
Yes, we're a swing state, and it's just like the auto industry. We always, when an economic downturn started, we get sicker quicker and we get better slower. And I think that you're going to continue to see that in places like Michigan. You'll see that in places a lot like your own Pennsylvania, where you. From originally, you could see it also in places like Wisconsin, places in the Midwest, Ohio, Midwest.
I had assumed
deep America, la profonde America.
That Michigan was a solid Democratic state, but you say that that is not the case.
Our Michigan delegation for 20 years was Republican. Now, some people say we gerrymandered, but it was because John Engler, was the governor. He was governor for three straight terms. That was 12 years. You had Republican majorities in the House and the Senate. So if we would generally, whoever was in power in Washington would help the other side in a midterm election. So this is Trump. It's a midterm election. It should bode well for Democrats in Michigan. Okay. Just historically.
Certainly the way the situation is now with the high price of gasoline and the intractability of the Middle East contest and the unknowns of the Ukrainian war, all of that favors a Democratic victory in the midterm. And that's why
generally when you're run behind, you're losing on war and peace, you don't do well at the polls.
And so I'd assume that Ms. Stevens would hold, if she's the nominee, she would hold the seat easily in the general election in November.
I think that conventional wisdom, forgetting about all the undercurrents, is you had Alyssa Slotkin came in at the same time, came into the state house at the same time as Haley Stevens, won a swing type seat. So that she won 2 years ago against Mike Rogers, that if you nominate a female Democratic member of Congress who's never lost an election, it would probably be a safer bet than going with the relatively unknown and potentially far left Democratic Dr. Abdul El-Sayed. That being said, the dynamics of the Democratic Party and the potential shifting of some of the key voter blocks from 2024 might render that too pat at this point. We shall see. It will all be answered for us in a week.
I understand, but I want to know whether this has significance outside of Michigan. That's
why. Oh, absolutely. It's a Democratic. You couldn't paint a more Democratic establishment candidate versus an insurgent DSA type candidate. You couldn't. And I think they all know it. That's why Obama cares so much. Well, but Obama was very instrumental in seeing Alyssa Slotkin and Haley Stevens, their political ascent. He was very supportive of it. Former President Obama has a lot at stake in this because the DSA and these people will leave him behind, and he knows it.
El-Sayed, I go along with the idea that he's a celebrity. He's a very handsome man, well-spoken young man, like Mamdani. And yet he doesn't take a position that is easy to see in the U.S. Senate. He's an outsider. And this doesn't be... My sense is this is not an outsider's midterm. This is a wave midterm in which the Democrats will carry everything before them.
I think you've seen people like Senator Kaine talk about this, where the Democratic Party is now doing its own riff on the big tent because establishment candidates are deathly afraid of primaries. It's the same thing you saw between the MAGA side and the Republican establishment side. And the Democrats may not have a singular leader like President Trump for the MAGA side, but the DSA and these people have celebrities. They have people like Bernie Sanders, AOC, and others, now Mamdani. So what you're going to continue to see is the establishment Democrats start to hedge their bets and say they can work with anybody and that they welcome new voices, blah, 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 blah. And you're already seeing that. So, yeah. I don't see how the Democrat senators are going to refuse to work with the guy. You got a lot of left-wing senators.
I know, but reading El-Sayed's remarks in the debate, he doesn't seem like a Democratic senator at all. He seems like an outsider who dropped in on the Senate, but he doesn't have a career or a background or any consistency as a political.
Well, he worked in Detroit. I believe he was Detroit. He worked in the Detroit healthcare field for the city of Detroit.
He wants a single payer system. That's his idea of.
Yeah, he's a left wing. He's a left wing Democrat. I mean, if you look at the New York Times, you stack up the New York Times agenda with his, he's probably more in line with it than Haley Stevens. It's a different Democratic Party. I know Republicans have been saying that for 20 years. In many ways, they were right. And here it is. They were marking the milestones along the way. This is now a European Socialist Democratic Party. And MAG has become a blue-collar working class Republican Party. And the change has, unless you're just looking at it, if you have a stake in it, it can be confusing to watch. It can be hard to watch. It happens. It's like bankruptcy. It happens slow, or it's gradually then sudden.
Right. Right. But are there enough socialists in Michigan to win this contest?
I don't know. You had a lot of socialism in places like Minnesota for years. You've had populist movements in places like Wisconsin. Robert will follow.
Well, maybe I don't understand what they mean by socialist. Socialism is about the state.
What the kids mean, John. The kids think that socialism means a capitalist economy with a huge welfare social safety net. They think it's more like, some of the Scandinavian countries. And the Scandinavian countries will tell you we're not socialists or capitalists with an expansive social safety net. They don't understand, a lot of them do not understand what true socialism means or what it's going to do to them. We have no understanding of the horrors of socialism, the fact that socialism is one stage on the way to communism, and no one ever really wants to stop there. It was the Union of Soviet Socialist Republics, and that was a communist country. Anyways, civics and history, baby.
It means one man, one vote, one time. Is that understood in Michigan?
Well, in Michigan, it means you're going to have a unicameral Senate if they get their way, which, as a House member, it is tempting, but no, I prefer a bicameral legislature. What you're seeing out of the DSA, if you boil down, it's really kind of ironic. It's the more they talk about empowering people, the more they are removing the checks and balances to protect individual liberty in the United States.
And
it's that simple.
Certainly, if you don't understand socialism, you're certainly not going to understand capitalism. This is a top-down political theory.
These are the people who make their living with words. They don't produce anything but words. That's why the postmodernist movement came out of academia and all these places and philosophers and others, because if they can control the language, if they can change how people think, is by changing the language, that's what they have control over, and that's what they're going to use as a weapon to attain power. And that's where we are with the postmodern movement, and that's where all this comes from.
Al-Sayed, does he speak as a populist? That is a possibility, that
yes.
He's sliding in
yes.
As a populist.
Yes, he does. Yes, he does. And again, it's the other side of the coin of Trump. I mean, you talk about Al-Sayed is just dropping in on the Senate. Well, Donald Trump just dropped in on the presidency, didn't he?
Yeah.
Okay. And he talks, and Al-Sayed talks about, we will not back down. We will never stop. Stop fighting. And it's like, okay, I've heard that before. Yeah, they'll hate to admit it, but they're basically, when you steal somebody's art, that's theft, but if you steal it properly, it's genius, that type of thing. So they're doing exactly what Donald Trump did on within the Democratic Party, although they'll never admit it. They're taking candidates without records, dropping them in, saying whatever they want, putting their opponents on the defensive for their records, and claiming that they're never going to stop until everybody's happy, whatever that means.
Well, next Tuesday we'll have an answer. And Michigan, and you introduced a detail about the voting in Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
There are rules. Repeat them for me, please.
So, look, let's say Jane Smith gets a ballot for Michigan's primary.
Right.
Jane Smith can vote on the Republican side for the governor, for the Senate, to choose which Republicans are going to be the nominees. She can't then vote on the Democratic side. It's a modified closed primary. So if she wants to vote for the Democratic nominees, she can vote all the way down over there. But she then can't vote for the Republicans. So you got to stay on one party or the other. And you can obviously vote for any of the nonpartisan or the propositions on the lower down the ballot. But in terms of with voting, you can only vote in one party primary. On your ballot, you cannot vote in both.
Well, that would limit the game playing that we've seen in other states.
Yes, and because we had a contested primary in Michigan for governor that has sorted itself out rather late, there's not a whole lot of people that are going to ignore that and vote over in the Democratic primary in a mischievous manner. So you're going to get a really good assessment of where the Democratic Party stands.
I'm looking forward. All of a sudden, I'm looking forward to Tuesday. You've pitched me, Thaddeus. I'm ready to pay attention to this.
We're gonna get a guy from New York to pay attention to Michigan. Wow.
Yeah. Well, now Saeed, to see if this works in a primary contest. Wow. A populist.
If it does, and I think I don't know enough about the three congressional candidates that Mondami endorsed in New York. So I don't know how many of them have ever held political office before either.
They're creative people, very creative. You know, defund the police, defund jails.
Yeah, but I mean, these may be, I don't know if they have held public office where they have a record. Do you know what I mean? Do they drop those three in there too? Are they taking the whole Trump model? Is the DSA taking the whole Trump model and dropping in people with no public record so they can put the establishment on the defensive from day one and never look back?
I will do my research. I don't know the answer to that question. I've spent too much time overseas. I'm getting the dust of the Middle East off of me and trying to pay attention to the great state of Michigan here.
I have bad news for you. I will not be here next week for Monday or Tuesday.
Well, we don't have results until late on Tuesday night.
Yeah, I'll be in Washington doing moderating a policy seminar.
Well, we'll pick this up then on the following Tuesday when we have a nominee. And if it's Haley Stevens, nobody's going to be surprised, correct?
I don't think they'll be surprised. I think the Democrats will be relieved. If the Democratic establishment will be relieved. If not, Katie, bar the door.
Yeah. Thaddeus McOtter, American greatness, former member of Congress, my guide, my Michigan whisperer.
And grouchy old man.
A grouchy old man. As Michigan goes, so goes the Midwest. And we know what happens when you win the Midwest. You win the presidency. This is the making of the John Batchelor Show, also the John Batchelor Show, with Thaddeus' analysis of the two candidates for Tuesday. Next Tuesday, a week from right now, the vote to watch. Haley Stevens wins. The Democrats relax for a moment. Dr. El Saeed wins. Whoa. I'm John Batchelor. And here's the Roman Orchestra. Boys and girls, the stage is yours.